Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. As you can tell by looking around at the decorations and the blue, this is the first Sunday of Advent, which means it's the first Sunday of the new church year. And so we've got a lot going on right now. We just had our first session of Sunday school looking at the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas and what that means for our hearts growing and expanding. And we'd love for you to join us next week from 9:15 to 10:15 in the fellowship hall. If you're interested in joining, we have books for you if you want to grab one of those and read chapters 1 and 2 for next week. Immediately after worship today is our semi-annual congregational meeting. It shouldn't go too long. We just need to approve the budget for 2025, vote in our new council members, and Mary Davis, who's been helping me out at the office, is going to show you how to connect to our church management system through an app on your phone. So have your phones ready for that. We have a lot of really fun things happening this Advent. Please look in your bulletin and make sure that you're reading the holly leaf each week, as there are lots of news and informational tidbits in your holly leaf. Since it's the first Sunday of the month, we will take up our basket offering this morning after our regular offering. In the month of December, we take it up on the first and second Sundays, and it will go toward the staff bonus. I also want to point out this little tree over here. We are hoping to support sending food home with 50 children every weekend at Davis Townsend Elementary School. If you would like to take a little person off of the tree and take it home, put it on your fridge so that you can also pray for that child, it costs $13 a month to feed a child every weekend for that month, or if it's easier to write a check one time, it's $117 for the whole school year. So far, we've had 20 families sign up, so we've got 20 children who are provided for this school year. So the Lutheran Men in Mission Christmas party is being switched from Tuesday to Thursday. Same time, same place. And speaking of Lutheran Men in Mission, we want to ask you to pray for Bill Curry. Bill Curry is back in the hospital. He's had a really rough few weeks. I think this is the second or third time that he's been in the hospital in the last month or so. But he has pretty severe pneumonia as well as some other health challenges that have cropped up. And April shared that he fell out of bed last night because he was trying to get up and he is just so weak. As you can imagine, this is probably taking a toll on Dottie, although she assures me every time I talk to her not to worry because she's tough. But please, please hold Bill and Dottie in your prayers and give April a little extra love before you leave today. One last thing, we had these budgets, proposed budget sheets available last Sunday for you to look at over the week since we're gonna vote on this today. But if you need one of these, maybe after you get communion on your way back to your seat, you stop in the narthex and pick one up so you have it for the meeting. We have a few birthdays and baptisms this week. Celebrating their birthday, Donnie Parsons and Susan Lohr. Celebrating their anniversary, Brandon and Brandy Conrad. And remembering their baptisms, Anderson, Conrad, and Everett Feedy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, alive in the world, reviving creation, arriving soon. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned. We trust earthly powers and human authority and leaders above you. We grow fearful. We cling to false comforts. God of might, we confess that we have sinned. We have turned away from our neighbors. We have trusted false promises. God in our midst, we confess that we have sinned. We plead, come to us, bring your mercy to birth in us. A righteous branch springs forth. It is Christ the Lord, our Savior, in whom we have forgiveness, life, and mercy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the grace and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, whose day draws near. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I would like to invite Maddie and her parents forward to help light the Advent wreath candle this morning. Brantley, can you go get me a candle lighter from the back, please? She's excited to go to Children's Church. You should be. I saw some of the stuff that Kelly brought in. It's going to be a good one. Here, let me get it. Can you get the flame from an altar candle for me? This morning, we light the candle of hope. Maddie, will you light one of these front blue candles with the help of Mom and Dad? We get to do the big one on Christmas Eve. So we light this candle of hope this morning because the world is broken and the wait is long. But hope just won't let go. Hope holds space for all our longings. Hope lingers on the edge of a harsh reality, like the dawn gently awaking the sky. Keep awake, she whispers, for the world is being made new. And so we light one candle this morning, because it only takes one. Christ is with us. Let us now sing the hymn in our bulletin. We're just going to sing verse 1 this morning. Thank you, Maddie. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Hi, buddy. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Maddie. Good morning, Brantley. I missed you guys last week. I'm really glad to see you this morning. And Sawyer, I see your brother so proudly sticking up, or at least he was. There he is. And your baby girl cousin nestled in your aunt's tummy. Congratulations. So when you came into church this morning, did you notice anything different in the sanctuary? Did you notice something different? What did you notice, Sawyer? The Christmas tree, yes. Yesterday, quite a few people came and put up the tree and decorated it with those ornaments. Those are special ornaments called chrismons. Did you notice anything else that was different? Jesus. Oh, you want to know where Jesus is. So you noticed the nativity and the manger is empty. Well, Jesus is not going to be in the manger until Christmas Eve, because that's the night that we celebrate Jesus being born. So when we celebrate Jesus being born, we're going to put him in the manger. That's a good question, Maddie. Did you notice anything different over here? The Advent wreath? And how many candles are there with this Advent wreath? There are five. There are three blue, one pink, and the white one in the middle. So Advent, which is the season we're in, the color for Advent is blue, so you'll see blue paraments, and my blue stole and these blue candles. Blue is the color for the season of Advent. Advent lasts for 4 Sundays, and they all come right before Christmas. And blue is the color of hope. And we hope for Jesus to come, and so that's why we have blue. And I wanted to show you what I got in the mail this week. This is a calendar, and you may have heard me say that today is the first day of the new year in the church calendar. And you might say, but wait a minute, I thought New Year's Day was January 1st. Well, it is, but in the church, we have a different calendar because we have a different story to tell. We get to tell the story of Jesus and of God's love. And so in our calendar, it starts with Advent. And you'll see Advent is written in blue. It starts with Advent. And these are the 4 Sundays before Christmas. But wait a minute. Why does Christmas have 12 days instead of just one day? Because we need more days to celebrate Jesus being born than just one. It's such an amazing, wonderful thing that God did, that Jesus came to be human and be among us, that we need 12 days to celebrate Christmas. And so I just wanted to show you that we are in a new season called Advent. And during Advent, we get to wait for the birth of Jesus. And we're going to get to light Advent candles. And we're going to talk about hope and waiting. And if you did not get candles for an Advent wreath at home, if you want to have an Advent wreath at home, they're in the fellowship hall. Make sure you get some after worship. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. Thank you for Jesus. And for giving us the opportunity to share the story of Jesus and God's love for us and the whole world. God's love for us and the whole world. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go to Children's Church with Kelly.
To spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
According to Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes I think that there is really no rhyme or reason for what my brain remembers from school. I'll give you a couple of examples, right? The Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Now, since geometry class, I've not had to calculate the length of a hypotenuse by taking the two other sides and squaring them and adding together. Why do I remember the Pythagorean theorem? Or from high school biology, I remember the seven levels of hierarchy when you classify an organism, right? Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. I haven't had to classify an organism in 25 years. Why does my brain remember that? I have no idea. But there is something that my brain does remember from elementary school that I use every day, right? The five questions that help us comprehend something. Who, what, why, when, where? Who, what, why, when, there? I use these questions daily, not just as I read something and try to comprehend what I'm reading, but as I move about the world and try to understand and make sense of the world around me. Who, what, why, when, where? You know, these questions appear an awful lot in the Gospels, especially coming from the disciples. We often hear them asking Jesus at least one of these almost every Sunday. They're trying to figure out what the kingdom of God is about. They're trying to understand it and comprehend it. And to be fair, in today's gospel lesson, the kingdom of God is so vastly different than the world that they lived in and the world that we live in that it is kind of hard to understand. It can be hard to grasp. But today, as they are thinking about the kingdom of God and Jesus is teaching them, we notice that, yet again, they focus on the wrong thing, and they ask probably the wrong question. Right? Think about earlier in Luke's gospel when they said, Jesus, who? Who is going to be the greatest of all of these in your kingdom? Jesus answers them and says, the least will be the greatest. They kind of missed the point on what Jesus was teaching them, but Jesus circled back and said, the least will be the greatest. Again today, in Luke 21, they kind of miss the point about what Jesus is doing and saying. And they ask, when? Well, at this point in Luke, almost immediately before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus is telling his disciples that he will come again in glory. Right? We believe in that end. Right? Every Sunday in the Creed, we say we believe that Jesus will come again. In the communion liturgy, we're going to say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And in this passage, Jesus is telling the disciples about this coming again. Earlier in the chapter, they asked, when will this be, Jesus? Who, what, why, when, where? When will this be happening? And Jesus sort of steers them around because they were focusing on the wrong thing and they asked the wrong question. Now, to be fair, we can't blame them too much. In this passage and others, Jesus offers some unsettling images and confusing metaphors about the future. And if we're honest, we, like the disciples, ask when as well. Because maybe if we know the timing of all of this, it will seem less foreboding. And to be very honest, in the last 150 years or so in America, verses like these have been incredibly misinterpreted and misused to scare people and manipulate them by preachers in books and movies. To be clear, Jesus never once used fear or manipulation to draw others to himself. Still, maybe if we know when, we can brace ourselves a little bit better, and maybe Jesus coming again won't be quite so scary. So I get why the disciples ask, when are these things going to take place? But I don't think that question is particularly helpful. And I don't think it's what Luke intends for his readers to focus on. Luke, if you'll notice, shifts the question from when will these things happen to how are we to live in the meantime. Luke's emphasis isn't just on watchfulness, it's more so on the character and the behavior of those who follow Jesus while they watch, right? The character and behavior of those who follow Jesus while they watch. Jesus urges his followers to avoid getting caught up in either excessive worries of the day or excessive pleasures. Jesus urges his followers to reject hopelessness and despair. Instead, he calls his followers to watch confidently and with hopeful expectation for his return. So Jesus offers these words, confusing though they may be, to assure his followers and to assure us of the hope that we have in God's redeeming love, and to encourage us as we wait for the second advent of Jesus. Jesus promises that when all creation trembles about us, and when we feel certain that chaos is about to rule the day, we will be able to stand tall and hold our heads high, not because we're strong enough or resilient enough, but because nothing, no thing can separate us from God's love. Our creation and all of creation's redemption came near in Christ's first advent, and it will come near again in his second advent. Because this is good and hopeful news, not fearful news, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, you stand up and raise your head. Sisters and brothers, we need not fear when creation trembles about us and when chaos seems to overtake us. It's not as if this hasn't happened before. When creation first experienced the inbreaking of God's kingdom in Jesus' first advent, a star shook loose from the heavens to lead the Magi to the Christ child. In Jesus' first advent, when the seas raged, Jesus calmed them. When Jesus died, in his first advent, the skies went dark, the earth shook, and the stones split open. And in his resurrection, he overcame and defeated death forever. You see, God's love is the most powerful force in all of creation. And someday, God is going to swallow up death forever. The Prince of Peace will eliminate all violence. All greed and oppression shall cease, because they cannot exist in the presence of God's love and God's justice. And so when the kingdom of God breaks in during Christ's second advent, the evil in the world will be shattered, and it will shake the earth. But we trust with great hope and confidence that God, who is love and compassion and mercy and peace, will bring all things to a good end. And so in the meantime, Jesus calls us, yes, to keep alert, yes, to be constantly prepared, yes, to continue to put our hope in our loving God who comes to us in Christ, and to love all people and all of creation with the love of God that we have experienced ourselves and have known in Christ Jesus. Our preparation for this second advent may not look as glitzy as a shopping mall or a fun catalog. It won't look like the commercials we see on TV or a Hallmark movie. Our preparation for this second advent of Jesus looks like faithful waiting. It looks like serving others with love and compassion and generosity. It looks like loving mercy and doing justice and walking humbly with our God. We aren't just preparing room in our hearts for baby Jesus. We are also preparing room in our hearts and in our lives for the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God that will be fully consummated. Brothers and sisters, may we use this season of Advent to prepare for God's kingdom, to prepare for God's reign to break forth as we await the earth-shattering good news and welcome of the Prince of Peace. May we commit to not asking when, but may we commit to asking how. How can we live, and how are we to live until Jesus' second advent? What is our character and behavior to look like as we watch for Jesus to return? May we love mercy. May we do justice for all people and all of creation. And may we walk humbly with God while we wait. Amen.
Thank you.
faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence. God of righteousness, your people live in hopeful expectation of your coming. Fill your church with renewed passion for our shared mission, and deepen our relationships with other Christians and other faith traditions in our local community and across the world. Lord, in your mercy, God of the cosmos, all creation shows that your presence is near. Help us sense your goodness and love in the sun and moon, in sprouting leaves and bare branches, in the roaring sea and quiet breeze. Lord, in your mercy, God of the nations, your reign extends over all principalities and powers. Give leaders and all in authority hearts for justice and peace. Encourage efforts to enact policies that benefit the common good. Lord, in your mercy, God of change, you accompany us through life's transitions. Be near to all who are changing jobs, moving, welcoming children, or facing the loss of loved ones. Sustain those who are ill or suffering, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Keith, Lori, Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. In times of change, remind us that your steadfast love, Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
God of community, your Spirit holds us together. Sustain our care for one another. Inspire us to seek new ways to live together and to embrace the diversity of thought and identity in our communities. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
God of memory, we give you thanks for faithful ones who have died. Tend to our grief and sorrow with renewed trust in your promise of abundant and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Savior of the nations, come. Receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace, Brantley. Peace be with you, Judy. Peace be with you, Mickey. May I give you a hug? Peace be with you. Today, and then after this, we have the basket. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Creator God, you made the whole world, even the farthest stars, and you draw near to feed us. We praise you for these gifts of bread and wine. Strengthen us with this food that we may live in expectation for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God feeds us with tender mercy. Come to God's table. Stand for the table blessing. Ready? You ready? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Generous God, We thank you for the gift
of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name. Amen.
God of endings and beginnings, God in the darkness and in the light, God, our hope for the journey, bless you and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, preparing the way for the end of it all.